This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss diagnosing and treating valvular heart disease and the exciting future in the heart valve research space. Here's Rasa Kay.
Your hard-working heart valves sometimes start to wear out later in life despite your best efforts to live a heart-healthy lifestyle. Interventional cardiologist Dr. Muhammad Raza says there may be no sign that your valves aren't opening or closing properly in the mild to moderate disease stage.
But when the valve dysfunction is more advanced, is in the severe range, that means it will start to have symptoms. And usual symptoms of valvular dysfunction are shortness of breath, fatigue and tiredness, or leg swelling.
Such symptoms should always get checked out by your doctor, because Dr. Raza warns that while there are effective minimally invasive interventions to address valve disease, they can't be performed at the most severe stage. Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
Start your new career with H&K Group Incorporated. H&K Group wants to offer you the opportunity to be part of the industry leader. 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Visit hkgroup.com and apply today. H&K Group does not discriminate. Experience more with H&K.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. We are trying to cover all of this overnight breaking news for you out of Wisconsin and all of that. We'll have the results for you here this morning. Glad you're with us. Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman in here with me, and Sue Thomas checking out your traffic. Supposed to get pretty windy today, I understand, and I think they've reduced the threat level for those storms later in the day, but still something to keep an eye on for sure. I was watching the news yesterday, and one of the meteorologists was saying some of these could produce tennis ball sized hail. And I don't even know why they tell people that. I don't know if in my life I've ever seen tennis ball sized hail.
No, golf balls about.
Golf
in fact,
ball?
I don't even know if I've ever truly seen golf ball, just pictures of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But regardless, there's a risk at some point this afternoon of some potentially severe weather. It'll have people thinking about, if they don't have a garage, how to protect their car.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about on Sunday. I'm thinking, now, where could I go near here to get under my car under shelter, since I can't fit it in my garage, which is very frustrating to me. By the way, this is a side note here, a little inside radio. We're living in the dark down here this morning, for the most part. We have lights in the studio if you're watching online on Facebook or Twitter or Rumble, wherever it happens to be, YouTube. We do have a few select lights in the building, but when you leave our studio, the halls are dark. Like, we had some electrical problem in the building down here yesterday, and they apparently still haven't figured it all out. The radio station's on the air, well, that's a good thing. But for some reason, we have certain things in the building that are not working. It's almost like you want to light a candle and walk around with it in parts of the building. What did you say it was this morning, Kim? A little creepy?
It's a little creepy. And yeah. I like the lights off.
Yeah, you do.
I enjoy the lights off in the studio when I write headlines, and then Mark comes in and turns them all on.
Maybe we need Grasser Electric down here. Where are my guys from Grasser to get this thing fixed? I'm just kidding. Hopefully they'll get it worked out at some point. They didn't notice it too bad during the day yesterday because, of course, they had a thing called daylight, which we don't have access to yet this morning. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about these tariffs and the real impact here and what you should be focused on despite all of the noise you're going to hear today and the ranting and raving and the members of the mainstream media going boneless over this. They can't believe that Donald Trump is actually about to do what Donald Trump's about to do. So we're going to get to that for you. We'll get a check of business, see how the markets are reacting to the whole thing, or overreacting should be a better term, at the bottom of the hour. And we've got in other news coming up for you as well. A little bit later, we're going to talk to Councilman Mark Carter. I invited him on again after seeing that Ethics Commission filing against Sam Page. I got this flyer. Even though I don't live in St. Louis County anymore, they've forwarded this to my house. And it says paid for by Sam Page right at the bottom of it, trying to fight Prop B, which I am in favor of if you've looked at the voter guide. Go to 971talk.com, and you'll see it right on the front page. You can look at the voter guide, see where I am on Prop B, a couple local mayor's races, local school board races where common sense parents have a chance to take back control of their schools. So you definitely want to check that out. You can print it off. It's in a PDF form. So we appreciate you doing that. Right now, I want to take a look at a few of our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The lack of reciprocity contributes to our large and persistent annual trade deficit that's gutted our industries and hollowed out key workforces.
Thank you. Very important. They're very key messages there on the part of Caroline Leavitt talking about the eve of Liberation Day. We're in Liberation Day right now, but we may not find out till about 3 o'clock Central Time today exactly what the tariffs will be that are levied.
To have an all-out war with every country in the world who was a major trading partner, that could have catastrophic economic consequences.
Key question. How is Senator Markey or Senator Blumenthal, how are their palms being greased over all of this? Why are they so worried about these reciprocal tariffs?
Never reported at the time that Harris was ready to launch that whip operation. Never reported at the time that she had to beg Joe Biden to issue an endorsement the same day.
Wow. That's a guy named Jonathan Allen reporting yesterday on this, claims to have some insider information. On the day that Joe Biden decided that he would drop out of the race, it took several frantic calls from Kamala Harris to get him to actually go out and publicly endorse her.
So let's just go over the facts here. He is an illegal alien. Fact one, what do you do with illegal aliens? You deport them.
Ha ha. Stephen Miller reading the riot act over this story that the media has latched onto. Boy, they think they've got one now. Have you seen this? This poor El Salvador or Guatemalan, whatever he is.
Who they said was accidentally deported.
He's a father, and he's been accidentally deported. He was swept up in these horrible Trump deportation raids, and now he's been sent away. Well, guess what? I'm just going to tell you, he was wrongly deported back to his home country. What they should have done was drop him off in any other country. That's the only violation here, right? Quite frankly, I don't know why we're worried about a gang member who's in fear of their life. Isn't every gang member in fear of their life? Being a member of a gang means there's a rival gang that hates you and wants to kill you. That's the nature of being in a gang. So this guy goes to the immigration court after being ordered held and ordered for deportation and starts crying that he deserves amnesty because if he gets sent back home, a rival gang might kill him. And some bleeding heart judge granted him that. They didn't cancel his deportation order. But they said, you're right, if you go back to your home country, you might face death. So I say we drop him off in like Venezuela or something. I don't know why we care. But the Democrats think they've latched onto something here. So listen to Stephen Miller, who explains this as well as anyone I've heard so far. Listen.
So let's just go over the facts here. He is an illegal alien. Fact one, what do you do with illegal aliens? You deport them. Fact two, he's an MS-13. What do you do with illegal aliens who are also in a transnational terrorist organization? You deport them more quickly. Oh, and on top of that, he's implicated in human trafficking. Deport, deport, deport. This is who they're going to bat for. What are we supposed to do? Buy the guy a house, get him some free health care?
Yeah.
Maybe let him run for Congress?
It's ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous, but you do have to ask that question.
This shouldn't surprise you at all, but I went to NBC News just to see how they're reporting it.
Oh,
and four little paragraphs down, it talks about how this man lives in Maryland with his wife and 5-year-old child, here it is, who is autistic and intellectually disabled. The couple both work full time. So there is the little section that they make sure they insert.
Try to tug on the heartstrings
because as a mother, that is sad for me. But that doesn't mean if you're a bad dude and you're here illegally, I'm sorry. Like you need to move your whole family then. You can't just let somebody be here in the United States because they have an intellectually disabled child. It's sad, but that's not an excuse.
The story I read is that he's not married. It's his girlfriend. And he did father a child that, because of this anchor baby law, which they need to get rid of, is now a United States citizen. Irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The guy is a known member of a gang, has been ordered deported by several deportation judges, just not back to wherever the hell was he came from, because they think he might get killed. If he's a gang member, he might get killed today when he walks out his front door. Regardless, I don't think he's ever coming back to the United States, so you don't have to worry about it. It's not the story the media thinks it is. All right, let's talk Liberation Day. How about that? It's like Independence Day, that great song we played the other day. Carl, who was that?
Martina McBride.
We're going to talk about Liberation Day and what it really means when we come back.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Mark Cox Soapbox.
All right, they're calling this Liberation Day. It's a catchy title. I think the better description might be Fairness Day. It's time, baby. It's time to bring the heat. I've never heard so much whining in my entire life as I have about the United States reciprocating punishment for sending our goods overseas. We're being punished for sending our goods overseas, and we have to listen to these whiny lefties complain about it. Listen to these two, Senator Ed Markey and Senator Blumenthal. Carl, cut number 7, please.
Liberation Day, it could be Obliteration Day. To have an all-out war with Canada, with every country in the world who was a major trading partner, that could have catastrophic economic consequences.
The tariffs are likely to be catastrophic to our defense industry and our supply chain in Connecticut and elsewhere around the country. I think tariffs are an impending national security threat.
It could really tank the economy. The overall economy is what we would expect.
Chicken crap.
Yeah, this is what we had to listen all day yesterday. Anything against Trump. Listen to here. When we send United States goods overseas, other countries punish American companies by jacking up the prices their residents have to pay for those goods. It's that simple. I have never heard anybody describe it better than Caroline Leavitt yesterday. Did you hear? In Japan, they charge a 700% tariff on rice coming in from the United States. Why do they do that? Well, the Japanese decided at some point they were going to protect their rice industry, and they could care less about American companies being able to ship rice over there. Why has the United States put up with this for so long? I don't know. I honestly cannot answer that. You've heard me on here with network reporters asking them this question. Where are the investigative reporters asking that question instead of running out to ask somebody if they're worried about whether or not they're going to be able to buy rice at the grocery store? The real damage here over the years has been to America. These tariffs have slowly killed a lot of American industries, or at least severely damaged them to the point that that's where the pain's going to be felt in America. If we're no longer getting rice from Japan, somebody in the United States is going to have to ramp up production to meet that demand. Now, that could take a while, right? Same with cars, same with lumber, same with maple syrup. Just because we don't produce it now doesn't mean we can't. And nobody understands that better than Donald Trump. In fact, he's been pretty consistent on this since way back in 1987. Listen.
The fact is that you don't have free trade. We think of it as free trade, but you right now don't have free trade. And I think a lot of people are tired of watching other countries ripping off the United States. This is a great country. They laugh at us. Behind our backs, they laugh at us because of our own stupidity.
And Japan come in and dump everything right into our markets and everything. It's not free trade. If you ever go to Japan right now and try to sell something, forget about it, Oprah. Just forget about it. It's almost impossible.
Yeah, how about that? Remember when he used to be invited on Oprah all the time? 1987. Donald Trump's been complaining about this, and nothing's been done. So, you know, it's still possible President Trump will slow walk this a little bit today. So, for example, he doesn't immediately charge Japan 700%. He charges them, let's say, 400%. Enough to make them realize they are not going to win in this battle with the United States. They need our products. We need their products. Why in the world are we propping up the government of these foreign countries? We're propping up their budgets. I don't know how anybody could justify this, quite frankly. And I haven't heard anybody even attempt to justify why these tariffs are so high in other countries. All of this turmoil is coming from the left because they hate Donald Trump. So now I'd say follow the money. If there are people on the left or right supporting these tariffs from other countries on U.S. goods, let's ask why. Are they getting paid off? There has to be some reason the U.S. has looked the other way for so long, just like with USAID fraud. If somebody wasn't getting their palms greased, this wouldn't have gone on for so long. We need to know who benefited. Well, we have an idea. It's USAID. It was Act Blue and the Democrats. They benefited their causes all over the world. Who have the tariffs benefited? Certainly not American companies that would love to compete in these foreign markets. So when you're at the water cooler today and some numbskull is griping about the tariffs, ask them that question. Ask them, why do they think any foreign tariff is good for American companies? And when they can't answer that, you have your answer.
Welcome back. Just a reminder, please go online, 971talk.com/contests. You can nominate your favorite first responder. Had a great time yesterday recognizing Cindy Hake out in Fenton. She's a firefighter paramedic down there. Got a great nomination from her brother-in-law for what she gives back to the community and how hard she works. And we delivered food from Grillmaster Tony. Grillmastertony.com, great guy, does this every month. Just out of the goodness of his heart. So if you're looking for catering or anything like that, consider my friend Tony, because you're going to love the food. Let me tell you that. We always gravitate back to food here on the morning show. I don't know why that always is. Let's get to Nicole, please. Yeah. Good morning, Nicole. How are you?
Now that you say food, I'm hungry.
You're hungry. Of course you are.
Of course.
We always talk about that here on the morning show. One of us brings food in or we're sorry we didn't.
Yeah, I
ate all my food on the way to work, and now I have some peppers in my bag, but I'm just sad.
You have popcorn.
Yeah, Carl
you're right.
Brought
I did.
Popcorn.
You're right. I did eat my popcorn already.
You
that
already
was before
that.
The show started.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
wow.
I had 2 cheese sticks, 3 hard boiled eggs, and pirate's booty, which I bought because my son will eat it.
Breakfast of champions.
It is.
There.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. What's going on in the business world? I'm assuming this tariff talk, Liberation Day, is kind of rattling Wall Street.
It's top of mind, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I'll bet.
All right, here we go. Futures are moderately lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 11. The NASDAQ gained 150. The S&P 500 up 21. Boeing CEO Kelly Ortberg will face tough questions on the plane maker's recent safety issues today when he appears before the Senate Commerce Committee. Lawmakers have been scrutinizing the company since a January 2024 mid-air emergency involving a new 737 MAX 9. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said President Trump's reciprocal tariffs will be announced at 4 p.m. Eastern Time later today and will be effective immediately. Details of Trump's plans are still unclear, but the Washington Post reported Tuesday that the White House is considering tariffs of around 20% on most imports. Employers posted 7.6 million job openings in February, a sign that the job market is slowing but remains healthy. The number of vacancies fell slightly from a revised 7.8 million in January. President Trump will hold a meeting today with aides about possible investors who could buy a stake in TikTok, a deal that could potentially stop the social media site from being banned in the U.S. Among the possible investors are the software company Oracle and the investment firm Blackstone. According to the Forbes 2025 annual billionaires list, Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk has been declared the richest person on Earth with a net worth of $342 billion. Placing in second is Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg with a net worth of $216 billion, followed by Amazon founder Jeff Bezos at $215 billion. And finally, members of Generation Z are crafting their own Steve Jobs-style uniforms for the workplace, saying outfit repetition gives them a sense of control over their careers amid economic uncertainty. The Apple founder was famous for his signature style, black turtlenecks, Levi's 501s, and New Balance sneakers that he wore almost every day.
Wow. So in other words, if we could just wear a uniform to work, it would reduce our stress level? Is that what they're suggesting?
I guess because then it's like you don't have to think about what to wear. The idea of picking out your outfit the night before goes away.
That's why some kids like uniforms for school.
Couldn't be.
So I'm wearing my 97.1 sweatshirt. I have so much logo gear that it's just easy to pick out one and throw it on.
This is kind of the Mark Cox uniform. He typically wears a long sleeve, at least in the winter, a long sleeve shirt with a vest, jeans, and tennis shoes.
Yeah. So it's easy. That everybody could emulate that if they wanted to.
You know, they've done studies for news stations, where they have the guy wear the same outfit for 30 days, same tie, same jacket, same, you know, like a white button-up shirt or something, and no one really notices. And then, of course, if the woman wow. wears, because, it, you know, the women, it's just very obvious when you're wearing a colorful dress if you're wearing it day in and day out.
Yes.
So I think guys can get away with it a little bit more than the women can.
As long as I'm wearing pants as a woman. So.
Well, your coworkers probably appreciate that, Nicole, if you remember to put on pants.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Well, that's the thing about it, you know, that I enjoyed so much moving from television to radio. Suddenly, I didn't have to wear a suit every day. And until we started carrying the show live on the socials, nobody could see me anyway. So really, what difference did it make? Largely, I don't see any reason to wear a coat and tie to sit here and talk into a microphone.
You feel good when you were dressed well? Because some people make that argument.
Mm-hmm. Why they'll dress up even if they're working from home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I'm not that person, but I can understand why some people are.
It's a little more of a hassle at 3 a.m. to have to dig out a suit and a fresh shirt every day and all that stuff.
I think you should wear a tux tomorrow, maybe with like a monocle and a top hat, Mark. Class things up here a little bit.
Yeah, I do not have a monocle. Well, that's good.
Make it happen.
All right. Hey, Nicole, thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
I appreciate that. Yeah,
I think everyone should have a monocle, don't you think?
No, I'm sure.
Isn't that just like a wardrobe staple?
I do have a tux. I had to see if it still fit when I thought I was going to get to go to one of the presidential balls around the inauguration. And it did, which
is
a good
thing.
What was
it from? Why did you initially buy it?
Well, when I worked at Channel 4 for all those years, I would be asked to MC things. And always, if it was a black tie event, I would have to go rent a tuxedo. And you weren't getting paid to MC those things anyway. So paying $100 to rent a tuxedo was a little bit of a hassle. The TV station would never pay for it. So I just went ahead and bought one. And that way I didn't have to worry about it.
Well, there you go. There's the motivation to be able to fit in that tux because they're very expensive to replace.
The great thing about those is that they generally they're a classic look. And you don't have to worry about the style changing all that often.
And they have adjustable pants.
They do have adjustable pants. That helps, too.
See, Lisa on Facebook is saying the boss is on vacation. Oh, no, yeah. Boss is on vacation next week, so it's dress down week for her.
Oh, I assume a lot of people can get away with that. That's a good thing. When you're in a two-person office, it's easier, too.
But I think I've said this. When I was in high school, I would wear, pantsuits and heels.
In high school?
Yes. I just
really?
I felt the sophisticated, or not every day, of course I'd wear sweatpants someday, but there was something about, I remember wanting to be a business professional. I didn't know I wanted to be a news in high school, but I wanted to be a business professional in some capacity. And there was something about dressing like that that just made me feel
dressing
sophisticated,
for the job you want.
I guess. I don't know. In college, that kind of went down, you know, down the tubes. And my sister was like, Kim, did you brush your hair today before class? No. Again, you did not brush it. It was for like 8 a.m.
I just have never understood why you would need to dress up to go on the radio. I mean, most people listening aren't on the socials. I mean, obviously, there's a fair amount of people who log in on Twitter and Rumble and YouTube, and that number's growing all the time. And we welcome that. We're fine. It's not like we're in here with no clothes on. But I just don't understand.
Well, people
why
would probably watch more if compared it with a naked show.
I think I've stumbled on something here. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right, coming up, we're going to get to In Other News shortly. We'll get Ethan in the door. Next hour, we are going to talk a little bit more about what's going on with Making America Wealthy Again. That event is going to take place in the White House Rose Garden at about 3 o'clock Central Time today. We're going to talk to Amanda Head. She's the host of Furthermore with Amanda Head, the podcast, and she also is a correspondent for Just the News. Mr. Sullivan, we've had on here quite a few times. Amanda works with him. We're going to talk to her at about 7:08. We'll be right back.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Val Kilmer, he did pass away yesterday at the age of 65 due to complications from pneumonia. He was diagnosed with throat cancer in 2014 and underwent significant medical treatment, including two tracheotomies, and had recovered. So it kind of sucks, but...
Well, that's why he didn't have... He had one line in Maverick.
Right. Yes. And it was his voice, apparently, but
They were going to dub it if it couldn't be used.
Yeah.
I was reading how he has two kids, a son and a daughter. His daughter is 33. His son is 28. It says he was incredibly close to his kids. So naturally, my heart just breaks for them. You know, only 65 years old. They're
very
still
young.
Yeah, very young.
Yeah. The guy just had some of the most iconic roles. And I said earlier that all of the headlines mention The Doors, and they mention, of course, Batman and Maverick, Top Gun. And very few of them mention Tombstone. Tombstone's like 7 or 8 or 9 movies down in this list. And to me, I think that was his best role. And the fact that he didn't get an Academy Award for that is stunning to me. I think he pretty much stole that movie.
He's good in that.
I'll have to watch that.
He was in True Romance, too. People forget that.
Is that a romance
True
movie?
True Romance.
No,
it is a romance movie, Kim.
Yeah, Kim, it's a romance movie written by Quentin Tarantino.
So that tells me no.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this was my favorite line.
I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry.
He played Elvis in True Romance. People don't remember that.
All right.
Although I don't think they called him Elvis in it, but...
No, I don't think they legally could call him Elvis.
But he was Elvis. There's going to be a celebration of life for Brian McKenna. It was announced. It looks like it's going to be planned for May 31st, and it's going to be kind of a street party with a parade and music and food and drinks. So,
are they doing it down there in your neck of the woods,
yes,
Carl?
Yes, it's going to be in South St. Louis. It's going to be on Mackland Avenue between Devonshire and Nottingham, right by his three favorite bars.
Wow, that's right where I used to live. I mean, good, because I didn't know him personally. I had friends who knew him personally. It seems like the guy was just a stand-up guy.
Yes.
Very involved in local nonprofits.
And somebody said to me the other day, there is no church or service place that is big enough to hold something for Brian McKenna. And they were right, because it's going to be in the street.
Yeah.
Actually, three streets.
So. I'm sure there will be a formal service. This is more something where the whole community can
for the family,
come together.
Or for the public, I should say. Yeah.
Well, he had 9 brothers and sisters.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Whew. Looks like there's going to be a follow-up to Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was officially in development. It looks like David Fincher is actually going to be directing, with Brad Pitt returning as Cliff Booth. The project, reportedly a Netflix production, will focus primarily on Booth's character, exploring his backstory and post-Hollywood adventures. Now, Tarantino, who is stepping away from directing after his upcoming film, The Movie Critic, he's going to be involved as executive producer and co-writer.
See, that's how he's going
to... So still have his footprint on it.
See, Quentin says he's only going to do 10 films, and this new one, the film critic, will be his 10th film because he counts Kill Bill as one movie. But he is going to still do things like that and not officially direct anything.
Okay. So why 10? He just randomly picked that number, or he's rich enough that he doesn't need the money?
Probably both. And he's Quentin Tarantino and does stuff like that.
Yes, that's true.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for him to come out as a different person, kind of like Sturgill Simpson said he's going to put out 5 albums. And now he's Johnny Blue Eyes.
It's like all the...
You know what I mean? Like,
he's going to
change
bands.
His name.
Right.
It's our last tour.
Else.
It's our final tour. Buy tickets. And then 14 tours later,
right?
They're still going.
They've promoted every one. This is the 9th movie by Quentin Tarantino. This is the 8th movie.
Yeah, and so do
bands.
Said
this
is our final tour.
Well, he didn't want Kill Bill to be 2 movies. He wanted it to be 1 3.5-hour movie. And the studio said, no.
That's too long.
The NFL has officially approved several major rule changes for the 2025 season to improve fairness and safety across the league. The most notable change is the overtime format, where both teams will now be guaranteed at least one possession.
Why are you cheering?
Yeah, wait, why is this such a good
thing? It's the college rule.
So why would the college rule just adopt the NFL rule?
No, because that's dumb.
Yeah, well.
Isn't it the current rule is whoever scored first?
No. If you scored a touchdown, the game was over. You only scored a field goal,
then the other team gets to run. Okay.
This guarantees that each team, but it's still only going to be 10 minutes.
Right.
So
they
can still tie.
Yeah, exactly.
They also revived the kickoff touchback rule. Now touchbacks, they're going to be placing them on the 35-yard line instead of the 25-yard line. Whatever. Why are they doing this?
Trying to make it more exciting, I guess. Right?
It's safer.
Soon they're going to say you can't tackle. You just need to touch a person and then they're tackled.
Yeah, they're ruining it for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Amanda Head. She's with justthenews.com to talk more about the Liberation Day announcement coming up at 3 o'clock Central Time, and our friend Genevieve Wood as well. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.